You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host. Welcome, welcome, wherever you are, however you're listening, whatever time it is. Right before I went to do this show, a couple of thoughts came to me about thought control, mind control, political correctness. So I grabbed up a few definitions, but I want to speak for a while on the subject. You see, if you allow the world to make you politically correct, what you've done is you have allowed them to control your speech, which then controls your thought, which means you and your framework have been modified by these ideas. I mean, to me, the main thing about political correctness is they don't want to offend anybody. I'm the antithesis of political correctness because I told you my old saying that there's a whole world of people out there just waiting for me to offend them. Listen, you don't have to do anything to offend these people. They police you. These things, this political correctness is media driven. I've been talking a lot about things that are media driven. It's media driven, and it's driven so far into the mind that people will police you if you step out of line with what the media has driven into their minds. Can you imagine a world where everybody tiptoes through the tulips? Wouldn't want to hurt this fellow, wouldn't want to hurt this woman's feelings. Wouldn't want to hurt that color or this race. And what it means is they don't want you to think for yourself. In other words, don't even look at the objectives of things, whether they're right or wrong, just the same old obey without question. You've seen that, right? The military is brainwashed and told to obey without question. So that when they do the evil deeds that they do, they can just say, well, I was just following orders. You've heard me talk about this before. It gives you an excuse because you were obeying orders and you are to obey without question. If you were to question authority, or if you're a supervisor, you looked into who they were, what they were, that would be a terrible thing. Not really, but it would be a terrible thing, right? You wouldn't want to question their orders. After all, some people are above questioning, they think. I'm not above questioning. How about you? Well, you know we're not above questioning, right? But there are people that think they are above questioning. They think that nobody can look into them to find out what they are or what they really represent or the anomalies that they're showing. Why you should not be alarmed by those anomalies. You should just ignore them. Well, that's just not my kind of thing. So I'm not your quintessential PC, they call it. Politically correct, brainwashed moron. Now listen, these people, some of them can't help it. There's this mentality of the monkey see, monkey do mentality, or the, you know, following the peer pressure of the world. I saw a movie where this woman kept saying to this man, "You always say the right things." And he says, That's the secret of my success. You get it? See, if you talk politically correct, they want you to think that that would be the secret to your success. The less people you offend, the bigger your audience will be. The less people you offend, the more friends you'll have. But will you really have more friends? After all, like Christianity, the term friend is very loose these days. There are all kinds of people you might think are your friends, but there's a lot of game players out there. There's a lot of people just playing the game. They'll play your friend for advantages. They'll play your friend to get information out of you. They'll play your friend to study you, to psychologically evaluate you. And they think you're so stupid when they're pulling these things off that you don't know. I guess people just underestimate certain people and overestimate others. For whatever reasons that may be, I don't know. You know the old saying, Mama didn't create no fool here, or whatever it is, you know. It's an interesting thing. But I want you to think of this. There are people in the world, in think tanks all over the world. They're paid to think. Their thinking is not really restricted, yet they must toe the politically correct lines, I'm sure. If you're in a Jewish-run company or any run company at this point, they want to make you think politically correct. They want to control your thought. If you work for a company, we can't have you thinking things that are wrong think. Right? We can't have you thinking for yourself unless it would give us some kind of advantage as a company. You see what I'm saying? There are other people that are paid not to think. The funny thing is, the think tanks are not paid to think about how to improve the world, but rather how to enslave it. I'm sure they think of many things and on many things. But you, the average citizen like me, we're not to think. And if we do think, they want to control our thinking. It's like you have a file in your head and they want to place cards in each of the slots. This you can think. This is wrong think. Don't judge a man by his color, race, or creed, or religion. See? When I told you before that it is not common sense to obey that precept. It is wrong. You should always judge a man by his color, his race, and his creed, his religion. If you knew the religions that these people belong to, and what they ascribe to, you'd want to know, and you would be able to judge somebody from their religion. If you knew somebody was a practitioner of Judaism, right away you should judge that man. They're not men, but beasts of the field, two-legged beasts of the field that are the most subtle of all the beasts, all the two-legged beasts of the field. Yes, races have, should be profiled. And they, to say that you should not profile any races or any coloreds or any whatever is wrong. You should profile them because there's a lot to be learned from the habits of different races. Just look at the Jews, for instance. You know their patterns. You know their, they lie all the time, etc., etc., etc. So when that information is gathered and the there's a racial profile, oh, there might be an innocent fellow somewhere that doesn't do something and gets caught in the undertow. But in reality, it goes for the race. So all these things that you're taught when you're a child, you're taught them as a child for a reason, so that it's ingrained in you, so that it's part of your frame of reference. What I always talk about, your frame, where did you get your frame of reference? Where did you get everything you believe? As you're growing up, if you don't learn to educate yourself, you might be locked into those that framework. And if you go to the colleges, which are controlled by Jews, you're liable to get further deep in and locked. Your mind will be locked further in. Just because something sounds good doesn't mean it is. You know what I mean? It's like you say, oh, we shouldn't racially profile people. That sounds good, doesn't it? But it's not. Communism may sound good to some people. They think it means that they're going to take the money from the rich. This is Robin Hood again. And give it to the poor and then bring all the classes up to the middle class, except for the, of course, ruling class. But that's not the way it translates. I've told you these ideologies do never translate. They might sound good in your mind, but when you see it in operation, you'll see that, oh no, it doesn't work that way. It means that everybody's brought down to the level of being poor except for the ruling class. And it's extremely anti-Christ. Does that sound good to you to be anti-Christ? Does it make you happy to be anti-Christ? Are you proud to be an anti-Christ? Somebody that's vehemently against, well, you could say religion. The reason why the religions are in the positions they're in now is because they were not the Father's religions. They have Lucifer as their God. You don't understand these things, perhaps. You're not understanding the world and seeing it in the proper perspective because of your frame of reference. So you see that the media, it's media-driven to be anti-Christ, anti-religion, except for Judaism, which is the vilest, probably, of all religions. It's even worse than Satanism, and it is Satanism anyway. And you know about that they, in the day and age we're living in, they call being good evil. And they call, when Michael Jackson said, I'm bad, that means he's good. Thinking. How important is it for you to learn how to think? When you watch the news, which you shouldn't be doing, you have Jewish talking heads on there telling you what to think about every story. They're so-called experts. You've never been proven that they're experts. They've just been, they've told you they were experts. And so therefore you've been taught in your frame of reference that experts, they know more than you. And so how could you doubt an expert in a field? But do they really know more than you? Are they really experts? Do they have your best interest in heart? Do they really want you to know what the story is about? Or are they directing you around things so that you don't really find out what the story is about? So that you never find out it's a fake news story? So that you never find out it's the totally opposite of what they're saying? As they're demonizing somebody, are you sure those people are bad? Or is somebody using their advantage to destroy people, using their power, abusing their power, and having access to your mind and my mind, which I don't give them access. Maybe you do, I don't. You do know how to read between the lines, and if you don't, you will. I used to wonder what that meant years ago. I used to say, geez, I don't know what they're talking about, really. I mean, I know what it means, you know, like there's things there you can see that aren't plainly spoken to you. But still, it was a bit of a mystery, but now I understand it much more. That doesn't mean I read correctly everything between every line either, though. There's a lot there. But to control your thoughts is media-driven. Controlling the herd, swaying the herd to the right, moving the herd to the left, bringing the herd to tears over certain situations, and this sympathy and tears would be used to drive laws through, media-driven law. If you're not going to think for yourself, you might as well just be a zombie. That's what people are today. You can go walk through society and see people walking down the street looking like mesmerized, looking like the lights are on but nobody's home. And it's a form of hypnotism from watching the Jewish lens. Have no doubt about it. The world is under a spell. This is witchcraft, black magic. And this thought control is a weapon. The media is a weapon that is being used against you, has been used against you, and will continue to be used against you until you turn it off. When I woke up several years ago, I believe what had caused me to wake up the most, besides the Father himself, was I began to abhor commercials. And I used to delete them out. If I recorded VCR tapes with shows, I'd delete out all the commercials, then I'd watch it. If I was on radio, out listening to radio, and the commercials came on, I'd turn the dial down on it for 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then I'd turn it up until I found the show come back on. There's something in the commercials. Oh, it's in the rest of the programming as well, but there's something in the commercials that accelerates the spell that people are put under. There's a lot of subliminal activity. And it's dangerous. It's downright dangerous. It doesn't matter if you're a lawmaker or you're an elite or you're a garbage man or you're a street sweeper. It affects everybody the same way. The weapons that they make to destroy all of us destroy many of them in the process. Many are used to get things done, but they're destroyed in the process of doing these things, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So there are think tanks out there being paid to think, and they have been for years. And the problem is that it's very demonic. These elites have opened themselves up to so many demons that their houses, their bodies, their temples are full of demons. So then they go and they speak amongst each other, and what do you think? You've got a conference of demons thinking on how they can enslave the world further. How they can brainwash people. Like I said to you before, Lenin went to Pavlov, the guy who trained the dogs there, and he said he wanted to do the same thing to the Russian people as Pavlov was doing to the dogs. Now, that was happening in Russia. Believe me, it's happening worldwide now. You digging what I'm saying? So if we can get you, we as the world, we as the Jews, we as the media, can get you to not say things to offend people, not think objectively, think completely inside the box, box being the Jewish lens, the electric toilet, then your mind is controlled and placed in a box, and you could never, that's what they mean by think outside the box. So, it's pure mind control. You don't know what's happening to you. It just does. I mean, how many times have you, I know you people out there that know the truth, speak to people all the time and try to wake them up. When you say things that make common sense to them, they give you an angry look, like as if you've stabbed them or that you've gone against something in them, the programming, that is. I've just said the word Jew before to somebody, and the guy, I remember this one fellow, his eyes started flashing, and he sat back in his seat, and he started shaking a little bit, just because I said the word Jew. And I don't believe he was a Jew either, but I knew I hit the programming. So in your mind, there's a lot of slots, let's say. I'm just saying, think about what I'm saying. And there's cards to fill those slots like I was talking about. And they each one they place their ideas and ideals into and put it in your mind, little by little, inch by inch, step by step, until the full program is there. when you make a video is just a series of many, many, many pictures, and then words are spoken to it. Each one of those pictures is a snapshot of a piece of time. Each one of those snapshots go in your mind until you have the full picture and the frame of reference that they wish you to have. That's why I ask you the question, where did you get your frame of reference? You may have never thought of it. Geez, I learned about religion down at the Judeo-Christian church. Oh, really? I learned about how I should love queers and transvestites, and I should hate God. I learned that all from the glass toilet. Listen, your frame of reference came from magazines. There's women that read these women's magazines, and it destroys their marriages. It destroys their mind. It destroys them as a woman and makes them into a modified, satanically modified woman. This happens to men, too. When they see other people doing things, they think, well, this is normal. And then they may pursue those same things. And voila. The programming is complete. You see, the education the world wishes to give you is not for your benefit. It's not for the good of society. It's not to help you to live long. It's not to teach you morals. It's not to make you better than you were before. It's there to keep you in line with what they want, keep you thinking the thoughts they want you to think, and only those thoughts. Keep you speaking only what they wish you to speak. By controlling your thoughts, they control what you speak. And also, by controlling what you speak, they control your thoughts. It's a two-way street. And if they can achieve this, then you can go out and police others. And when they think wrong, think, you get angry at them and correct them and police them and set them straight. That's being politically correct. Let's just look at some of these words. People like it when I look at words and check things out like this. Political correctness and the suicide of the intellect. Intellect. Political correctness, you all should know, is a term that seems to come from students, not from faculty. I told my son about the new phrase I was hearing from my colleagues, and he said, oh, we used to say that 3 or 4 years ago. Ultimately, I suppose political correctness comes from the Communist Party, where one presumes it was not used sarcastically. Now political correctness is connected to politicization. The university, yes, I mean, you've got to really think about the term political correctness. It's not just correct speaking or right think. I've never heard that one before. Right think instead of wrong think. It's political correctness. There's something that politics are doing to your life, ladies and gentlemen. I'll get back to the article in a minute or two. But politics, I was talking about this on Fireside Chat this morning, and politics is not your savior. It's Antichrist. Antichrist means to replace Christ, or also to be the antithesis of Christ. political correctness. Politics are being used to destroy our countries, to destroy our people, to destroy our happiness, to destroy our prosperity. And it's all media-driven, this destruction. So the article goes on, the university is politicized. The politicizers say, but they do not recoil, appalled at their conclusion that every scholar deep down is a politician. Nor do they try to minimize the fact that which they have uncovered. No, they embrace it. They furthermore say, it is necessary to replace the politics we've had up to now with our politics, or rather, my politics, the article says. This is a claim of tyranny, somewhat disguised by the demand in the speech of the politicizers to democratize everything. Democratize. It's funny that in the word democracy, you have every word, every letter of demon except for N. Politicization, therefore, leads to political correctness, the new orthodoxy to replace the old one. See, this is new think, new speak. The new deal that the Jews brought, the new deal. Okay, that's me speaking. Now let's go on with the article. We must give scholarship. We must give the university a progressive perspective, an ethnic one, a homophilic one, and so on. Now these two things, politicization and political correctness, are manifest in three aspects of the universities. First, in the admission of students and recruitment of faculty, and the related question of affirmative action. Second, in the campus life and the demand for sensitivity feelings, folks. And third, in the curriculum and the criticism of the traditional canon. You see, everything old must go. The patriarchy must go. Remember the college courses I read to you before? Queering God and all these lesbianism and all these crazy feminism and crap. The article says affirmative action I won't discuss, except to mention the two parts of the questions that I think are raised by the politicization of campus life. First, justice, and second, pride. As to the justice of affirmative action, I think that to most people, it's gradually sinking in that two wrongs don't make a right. And as to the matter of pride, affirmative action is the only government program that's ashamed of itself and that cannot identify its beneficiaries. Here is the new affirmative action candidate we've just found. They cannot be said, of course. That cannot be said without hurting the candidate's pride. Affirmative action is perhaps not yet on the run, but I think it's on the defensive. It is, of course, very strong in the universities, entrenched in bureaucracy. Everything else will be excused. There are even certain conservative views if you accept affirmative action. I don't. But the new Harvard president, see, Harvard is Jew-run. The new Harvard president, I was encouraged to see, he said that the problem of affirmative action is a problem of supply, of finding sufficient and qualified minorities. The suggestion is, therefore, that it's not a question of recruitment. Of course, it's the original premise of affirmative action, is that the problem is not supply, but rather in racism, conscious or unconscious, of the recruiters. So I think that that's a considerable advance. I turn now to the politicization of campus life. We've become familiar with speech codes on the campus that require students and faculty to avoid speech that may be offensive to certain groups. That's political correctness. They have been set up in many universities, not yet at mine, Harvard, which does, however, have regulations on sexual harassment requiring professors to teach classes without unnecessarily drawing attention to the sexual difference. You see, it's getting crazy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not even going to read any more of this, but you see, you know that what this writer is writing about is true. Remember I read to you Bertrand Comparé's sermon called Christianity Discriminates. Well, this is the opposite of that. You're not to discriminate against anybody. You're not to affirmative. Everybody's equal. It's a falsehood. It's a fallacy. It's a fable of the Jews. These are all fair. There's no difference between man and woman. Do you really believe something like that? Not you, you. Unbelievable. Okay, what is mind control? This is a different article. Quickly. Terminology. Mind control is also known as manipulation. Thought reform. Reforming your thoughts. You see, you might have thoughts that are normal, cognitive, common sense thinking, but they want to reform that kind of thought. They want to manipulate it. So that's what those are my words, of course. So again, mind control is also known as manipulation, thought reform, brainwashing, mental control, coercive persuasion, malignant use of group dynamics, and many others. The fact that there are so many names indicates the lack of agreement, which allows for confusion and distortion, especially by those using it covertly for their own benefit. Who is the author of confusion? The devil. What does the Jewish lens do? It distorts. What kind of light does Lucifer bring? Distorted light. Unpure light. Impure light. Let's agree that mind control comes from the umbrella of persuasion and influence, how to change people's beliefs and behaviors. You see, this is all media-driven. By changing your belief, it will change your behavior, you see? That's me talking. By changing your beliefs, it will change your behaviors. And persuasion of influence is groupthink. It's we're all one. Let's all meditate together for a minute. Let's do some groupthink. Mind control comes under the umbrella of persuasion and influence. This influence comes from the media. Comes from the colleges, comes from the books that are read, comes from magazines, comes from other people. You know, peer pressure. Some will argue, back to the article, some will argue that everything is manipulation, very often cult members whose leader is trying to hide it from them. But in saying this, important distinctions are lost. It is much more useful to think of influence as continuum. At one end, we have ethical and respectful influences which respect the individual and his or her rights. Oh my God, they said his or her. Why did not just say its rights? You see that kind of thinking? There's no difference between his or her. His or her towels, his or her bathrooms. Oh, no, there's no difference. Sure, there isn't. At the other end, we have destructive influences which strip the person of their identity, independence, and ability to think critically or logically. Doesn't that say it? This is me speaking, of course. Isn't that what it's all about? You're not supposed to have independence. The Jews hate independence. They hate farms. They hate what happened in Waco. Those people were independent. They didn't need Jewish society or Jewish supermarkets to rely on, etc., etc. They don't wish you to have an identity. They don't want you to know that you're one of Yahweh's offspring if you're a white Adamic man or woman. They want you to be the brown man and be of the same religion, and so that you identify, there's nothing to your identity. You're no different than any other. You're no better, you're no worse. You're not better at other things than other people. There's no competition. You're just flatlined. They hate your identity, of course, so they want to strip you of it. Your independence, they hate when you're independent. They want you to be in a Jewish company and be dependent on that Jewish company so that they can control your mind and your thoughts. And the ability to think critically or logically, they want to impair that. Because they don't want to be criticized. They don't want to be rebuked. When you call out somebody and rebuke them, it says in the scriptures, rebuke a scorner, and they will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you for it. Did they love me for it? They did not like the criticism whatsoever. Yet they were getting the same kind of criticism through emails. But they weren't going to address it any more there than they would by my criticism. And, of course, they don't want you to think logically. Back to the article. It is at this end that we find destructive cults and sects. These groups use deception and mind control tactics to take advantage of weaknesses as well as strengths of the members, to satisfy the needs and desires of the cult's leaders themselves. You see, they're trying to say in this article that religions are cults, and there are religions that are cults. So it says, so what is mind control? It's best to think of it as a system of influences that significantly disrupts an individual at their very core. That's your frame of reference. Your heart, your mind. At the level of their identity, their values, beliefs, preferences, decisions, behaviors, relationships, etc., creating a new pseudo-identity or pseudo-personality. This is what mind control is all about. When you traumatize the victim, like in 9/11, American people were the victim. The world was actually involved in this. And they kept showing the trauma of the buildings being hit. And in that, they created a new idea in your mind that it was Muslims with box cutters. So what it does is it splits the mind into several, it's like a cracked mirror. That's the way Fritz puts it. And each one of these pieces of mirror can be programmed to be a different identity, a pseudo-identity, a pseudo-personality. You know what I'm saying? Back to the article. It can, of course, be used in beneficial ways, for example, with addicts, but here we are talking about situations that are inherently bad or unethical. Anyway, I think that's enough of that, because I don't specifically agree with the article, but just wanted to see what some of it was saying. Thought control. The practice by a totalitarian government of attempting, as by propaganda, to prevent subversive or other undesired ideas from being received and competing with the minds of the peoples with the official ideology and policies. Now, that was a lot to be said. Let me comment on that. Let me take a sip of coffee. Oh, it's actually cocoa. So, the totalitarian government is using propaganda against the people, which is democracy, and propaganda is media-driven, always has been, always will be. This prevents subversive and other undesired ideas from being received and that could compete with the official ideology and policies, right? In other words, the minds, if we were able to trust one another, I was talking about on the Rabbit Hole radio show, I was talking about how important, or Fritz was talking about how important trust is in a society. When there's all deception and lies, it breaks down the society, it breaks down trust, and it prevents people from getting together and going against the official ideology and policies, you see? Thought control is so important to these people because by controlling your thoughts, it will control your speech, as I said. And by controlling your speech, it will control your thoughts. And then you'll begin to control others' thoughts and speech. And soon the herd will be self-policed and will need very little prodding to go in the direction they wish the herd to go in. Thought crime. Crime think. A thought crime is an Orwellian neologism used to describe an illegal thought. The term was popularized in the dystopian novel 1984 by George Orwell, first published in 1949, wherein thought crime is the criminal act of holding unspoken beliefs or doubts that oppose or question. See, I was guilty of thought crime at EFR. And when I questioned or rebuked things I saw going on, I was guilty of thought crime or wrong think or wrong speak. As one of the main characters said in the chat room, he said, "I think some people are upset with our latest house cleaning." I didn't even think of it at the time, but I thought of it later and I thought, wow, that's an interesting thing. You know how that we're supposed to love our brothers? And that if you read 1 John, the chapters of 1 John, it emphasizes the fact that we need to love our brothers. And it's imperative. If you don't love your brothers, you don't have the Father in you. Well, what does it mean that I was house cleaned? When you clean your house, you clean it of grime, dirt, garbage, filth. Does that sound like a brother that loves you? You see how subtle that was? So when they're getting rid of people, they're taking out the trash. But they said they loved this trash. You see, something's wrong somewhere. See, you know, they love to say that saying, you know, to find out, you know, who really controls everything, you find out who you can't speak about. Or the fellow actually said, had a show called They're Digging Their Own Graves. And I thought, wow, very apropos. Now, I'm not going to get into a lot of that. I just wanted you to know that I'm dirt and grime and filth and trash because my brothers love me. That's why. I could say so much more about it, but that's about enough. So back to thought crime. I remember in this particular movie, it's remarkable, the English version. There's an older version that's black and white, 1984, but there's a version that was from England later. And it is absolutely remarkable. And I mean remarkable. There was a fellow in there and he said, my daughter reported me. And because I was thinking wrong, and he said, thank God she did that, or whatever, something like that. You know, like he was so happy that he was going to have his thoughts realigned and straightened out because he was thinking wrongly. And he knew that they wanted them to say that. In other words, you know, that they were listening all the time. And so he was telling them, I'm so thankful that I'm being corrected now. The term has been adopted into the English language to describe beliefs contrary to accepted norms and has retrospectively been used to describe some theological concepts such as disbelief or idolatry or a rejection of strong philosophical or social principles. The thought police, think poll in Newspeak, are the secret police of the novel, 1984. It is their job to uncover and punish thought crime. The thought police use surveillance and psychological monitoring to find and eliminate members of the society who challenge the party's authority and ideology. The thought police of Orwell and their pursuit of thought crime were inspired by the methods used by the totalitarian states and ideologies of the 20th century. The term thought police, by extension, has come to refer to real or perceived enforcement of ideological correctness. Technology played a significant part in the detection of thought crime in 1984, with the ubiquitous telescreens. There's your screens again, which could inform the government and misform and monitor the population. The citizens of Oceania are watched by the thought police through the telescreens. Every moment, every movement, reflex, facial expression, and reaction is measured by this system, monitored by the Ministry of Love. Yeah. The Ministry of Love. which is actually the Ministry of Hate. Any sound that Winston made, Winston was the character that they had brought in to retool his brain. Any sound that Winston made above the level of a very low whisper would be picked up by it. Moreover, so long as he remained within the field of vision with the metal plaque commanded, which the metal plaque commanded, he could not be seen as well as heard. There was, of course, no way of knowing whether you were being watched at any given moment, how often or what system the thought police plugged in on any individual wire was guesswork. At times it seemed as if the telescreen is constantly watching each citizen. Winston Smith recognizes that he has no idea who is behind the technology watching him or anyone else. If you made unexpected movements, they yelled at you from the telescreen. Yes, it was exercise time, and they were, of course, telling the people it's time to exercise, and they saw that he wasn't doing it with real motivation, and they did holler at him through the screen, which intimidated him. Because of this system of surveillance, the Thought Police and the Ministry of Love become universally feared by any member of the Outer Party or any one of the proles, that's the proletariat, the working people, who is capable or felt by the party to be capable of thought crime. Crime stop means to rid oneself of unwanted thoughts immediately. Thoughts that interfere or disagree with the ideology of the party. This way, a person avoids committing thought crime. In the novel, we hear the crime stop through the eyes of the protagonist, Winston Smith. The mind should develop a blind spot whenever a dangerous thought presents itself. The process should be automatic, instinctive. Crime stop, they call it in newspeak. They called it newspeak. He set to work to exercise himself in crime stop. He presented himself with propositions. The party says the earth is flat. The party says that ice is heavier than water. And trained himself not seeing and not understanding the arguments that contradicted them. You know, that's kind of funny. I must comment on this, of course. The party said the earth is flat. What do we have going on now with that particular thing? It's something that divides the people. It's something that causes a great deal of arguments. Does it matter whether the earth was flat or not? No. Is it worth arguing over? No. Are the other planets that you see flat? No. What would make you think this one would be if those aren't? Wouldn't there be some kind of consistency in the universe? Now, I don't care about this argument, but it's funny that this argument, I didn't even realize this was in there. This must be in the book because I didn't see this in the movie. The party says the earth is flat. The party says ice is heavier than water. Then why would ice float to the top of the water if it was heavier than water? But they don't want you to think that. You see, that's what's being said. This is thought control. We don't need no education. Boom, ba-dum, boom, 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 ba-dum, boom, boom. We don't need no thought control, right? Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone. when I remember that Winston was on the table and he was being tortured, and the torturer would say to him, "Winston, how much is 2 and 2? And he'd say, 4. And then he'd be tortured because he gave the true answer. That's not the answer that was required. So this happened a couple times, and finally the torturer says to him, "Sometimes 2 and 2 is 3. Other times it's 5. And Winston finally, after he was tortured enough, he came to the idea, it's whatever you say it is. That's the right answer right there. He said, "Now you're understanding." So if the party says the earth is flat and it's not, you better believe that it's flat. If the party says that ice is heavier than water and you happen to know that you have ice in your drink and it floats to the top and it's not heavier than water, well, you better not say anything about that, because the party says that ice is heavier than water. So Winston had to train himself in not seeing and not understanding the arguments that contradicted them. See, you must train yourself to be blind. That's what's being said here. You must train yourself to be blind. These are my comments. And you see, this is what the world wants you to do. If you're going to be politically correct, if you're going to toe the party line and be controlled, have your mind and thoughts controlled by the Jews, you will be blind. Remember when I said to you that the reasons why the Edomite Jew Pharisees did not rejoice when Yeshua healed the blind or the deaf or the dumb or the lame? It was because they made them deaf, dumb, and blind, either through demonic sicknesses or in like cases like this. You see, he trained himself in not seeing or not understanding the arguments that contradicted them. What is them? The idea, what the party says, what the party believes. The Jews want you to hide your head in the sand. You know the three pictures of the monkeys, and one covers his eyes, the other covers his ears, the other covers his mouth. Though he sees, hears, and speaks evil, or hears it done, hears it spoken, he trains himself, "I cannot see." Like Schultz would say, "I know nothing, I see nothing." But he saw. And Esau saw. You see what I'm saying? They want you to be deaf, dumb, and blind. Tommy was deaf, dumb, and blind. He went by his feelings. He was the best pinball player because he went by his feelings. He didn't go by what he saw. He didn't go by what he heard. He didn't go by what was spoken. He went by his feelings. He could feel the ball go through the machine, and he could win this pinball game. Tommy's the new Messiah, the rock and roll Messiah. Listening to you, I hear the music. Listening to you, I get the story. Rock and roll was called the new religion. Funnily enough, if that's even a word, funny enough or funnily, I made it up, I don't know. Orwell also describes Crime Stop from the perspective of Emmanuel Goldstein. God is with us, Goldstein. That's the character. That's Big Brother. He's a Jew. And the Jew is watching you in this book, in this movie. It's remarkable. You see, it's all done by fear. Since you thought the system was watching you, you have a fear that they might see something they don't like. You have a fear that you might say something they don't wish to be said. They have a fear that they might think something that is wrong think, that is out of the party's beliefs. And the party wished them to believe wrong things to make them go against natural and normal and common sense thinking. Why? Because they could do that. That's they wanted to do that because they wanted to make it so that whatever we tell you, the answer is that's the answer. It doesn't matter what the Bible tells you. It doesn't matter what anybody tells you. Whatever we tell you is the answer. That's what the answer is. No matter if it doesn't make any sense, no matter if it goes against the fiber of your being, no matter if it goes against all logic, the answer is to obey without question and to blind yourself to the realities of the world and mute your mouth and cover up your ears from hearing anything other than what we want you to hear. That's what the real message is, ladies and gentlemen. This is crazy, crazy stuff. And this book is remarkable. Of course, the devil would take a book like this and use it. And of course, his children. Imagine that Orwell put in Emmanuel Goldstein. If that was done today, he would have been called an anti-Jewite, correct? But back then, we could speak more of our mind then. See, perhaps a book like this should have never really been written. You know, I live my life, and I know that there's a possibility of surveillance. They might know the keystrokes I do. They might listen to me through the microphone. Of course, what's the difference? It's all in my shows. There's nothing. This is ridiculous. So what am I to fear? Nothing. But some people, you see, people that don't do anything wrong, that are good citizens, that don't do any crime or anything, they don't have to fear the police. Of course, today it's a little different. But only criminals have to fear police. And what the criminals have done is taken over the police so that they don't have to fear them. They've taken control over the police. So that, through Freemasonry, so that they don't have to, no longer have to fear the police. They've taken over the media, which was supposed to expose corruption and so on and so forth, so that that would not function in its function, and therefore they don't have to fear that. It's all about them taking the fear away from themselves and putting you in deeper fear, which is the opposite of faith. Do you think I'm worried about thinking the way I do? No. Could something happen? If the Father allows it to. Do they really know every word I say and know every keystroke I do? I really doubt that. But they could. If they really focused on me. But they don't have the resources in reality to focus on every single individual. And that's the way it was in this particular thing, was you never really knew if you were being watched or not. But even knowing that, the fear of the fact that you could be being watched would take care of you when you weren't being watched. You would police yourself. I see no evil in the party. I hear no evil from the party. And I speak no evil of the party. You see what I mean? That's what they want from you and me. And just like any organization, when you see things that are wrong and going against what should be done, like I did, when you speak out against it and you rebuke people and you go against the party's ideology and the party's beliefs and everything else, then what they do is they make new disclaimers so that they say, well, this disclaimer is about freedom of speech. So if you want to come on our shows and lie, that's freedom of speech. And we will not curtail it. We will not defend the truth. We take no responsibility for the truth. That's the disclaimer. We don't want to waste any time hurting anyone's feelings or being politically correct or, not being politically correct, I mean, and correcting somebody because you might hurt their feelings and they wouldn't want to come back on the show. So we give you license to lie now, and that it's not in our responsibility. It doesn't mean we agree with it. So now it's all right. I think people are stupid. I really do. And people are stupid, some of them. It's really weird to watch men move. Men who say they're men of the truth, and then you see them trying to cover the tracks, and in doing so, it makes it worse and worse and worse and worse. In the process, they become more like the world and more like the world every day, while they tell you how truthful they are. It's very weird to watch this because, see, I'm totally awake about these things. I think a lot of you are too, and I know you are because you've written me and told me so. You saw these things as I saw these things. The fact is, they just don't want to be bothered about it. They don't want to defend the truth. They just want an audience. They want numbers. They want worldly success. They want fame. They want to be remembered. And it's just a lot easier to just make a disclaimer than to actually do the work in the field. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. I hope that this all makes sense to you. Let's look at Newspeak too. I believe it's right here somewhere. Because I know what it is. This book is just remarkable. I mean, when you look at this, you'll see that this was a well thought out thing. Uh, Oh, the bell ringeth. The bell tolleth. Newspeak. The idea of Newspeak, I'll just tell you before I read what it says here, is they would come out with new editions of dictionaries, et cetera, like they do with the Bibles. And each one there would be less and less words in there. Like, for instance, I always say, like, the word freedom. Eventually, that word wouldn't be in there because they wouldn't want you to know that freedom even exists. And so it would be taken out, and each new volume of this dictionary would remove more words. Let's see what it says here. Newspeak, or it says like news and speak as an hybrid word or a compound word, but it really is newspeak, is the language of Oceania, a fictional totalitarian state in the setting of the novel 1984 by George Orwell. To meet the ideological requirements of English socialism, ingsoc, in Oceania, the ruling party created newspeak, a controlled language of restricted grammar and limited vocabulary, meant to limit the freedom of thought. Did you hear that? Is this happening in America? Isn't this what political correctness is? A controlled language of restricted grammar and limited vocabulary, meant to limit the freedom of thought, personal identity, self-expression, free will, that threatens the ideology of the regime of Big Brother, the Jews, and the party, the Jews, who have criminalized such concepts into thought crime as contradictions of English or ingsoc, English socialism orthodoxy. The principles of newspeak, quote-unquote, the appendix to the novel, George Orwell explains that newspeak usage follows most of the English grammar, yet is a language characterized by continually diminishing vocabulary, complete thoughts reduced to simple terms or of simplistic meaning, linguistically the contractions of newspeak, ingsoc, English socialism, Minitru, the Ministry of Truth, etc. Is that not what texting is all about? In other words, instead of saying the Ministry of Truth, you call it Minitru. Or instead of calling it English socialism, you call it ingsoc. Get it? As you participate in this particular texting thing, you are using words misspelled deliberately because you're shortcutting it. That's exactly what this is showing you here. And so soon you won't know how to spell the words because you've used them this long like this. You'll forget how to spell them, really spell them. So they're derived from the syllabic abbreviations of Russian, which identify the government and social institutions of the Soviet Union, such as Politburo, Politburo of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, Komintern, Communist International, Kolkhoz, Collective Farm, and Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, Komintern, Communist International, yes. So, and Komsomol, Young Communist League. The long-term political purpose of the new language is for every member of the party and society, except the proletariat, the working class, that is, of Oceania, to exclusively communicate in newspeak by AD 2050. During that 66-year transition, the usage of old speak, standard English, shall remain interspersed among the newspeak conversations. Newspeak is also a constructed language or of planned phonology, grammar, and vocabulary, like Basic English, which Orwell promoted 1942 to 44 during the Second World War, 1939 to 45, and later rejected it in an essay called Politics and the English Language, wherein he criticizes the bad usage of English in his day. Doublespeak is language that deliberately obscures, disguises, distorts, or reverses the meaning of words. Doublespeak may take the form of euphemisms, downsizing for layoffs, servicing the target for bombing. Wow. In which case it is primarily meant to make the truth sound more palatable. It may also refer to intentional ambiguity in language or to actual inversions of meaning. In such cases, doublespeak disguises the nature of the truth. Doublespeak is most closely associated with political language. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll have to definitely continue on this type of thing. The term doublespeak originates in George Orwell's book, 1984. Although the term is not used in the book, it is a close relative of two of the book's central concepts, doublethink and newspeak. Another variant, double talk, also refers to deliberately ambiguous speech. Did exist at the time Orwell wrote this book, but the usage of doublespeak as well as of double talk in the sense emphasizing ambiguity clearing postdates the publication of 1984. Parallels have also been drawn between doublespeak and Orwell's classic essay, Politics and the English Language, which discusses the distortion of language for political purposes. Hello? The distortion of language for political purposes. In it, he observes that political language serves to distort and obfuscate reality. Orwell's description of political speech is extremely similar to the contemporary definition of doublespeak. In our time, political speech and writing are largely the defense of the indefensible. Thus, political language has to consist largely of euphemism, question begging, and sheer cloudy vagueness. The great enemy of clear language is insincerity. Can you say Bill Clinton? Where there is a gap between one's real and one's declared aims, one turns as if it were instinctively to long words and exhausted idioms. For instance, Bill says, or said in the past, that he doesn't believe in abortion, but he believes in the woman's right to choose. That's doublethink. That's believing two things at the same time. You just can't do that. What is really important in the world of doublespeak is the ability to lie, whether knowingly or unconsciously, and to get away with it. And the ability to use lies and choose and shape facts selectively, blocking out those that don't fit an agenda or program. Again, let me read that. What is really important in the world of doublespeak is the ability to lie, whether knowingly or unconsciously, and to get away with it. And the ability to use lies and choose and shape facts selectively, blocking out those that don't fit an agenda or program. 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 which is different than pogrom. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of things going on. You notice how these politicians, they don't answer questions. They talk about a lot of things that and dance around everything, but never answer the question. You're supposed to answer yes or no. Anything else comes from the devil, it says. Doublespeak may take the form of euphemisms, in which case it is primarily meant to make the truth sound more palatable. For instance, abortion, you're killing the fetus. Doesn't that sound more palatable than killing a baby or an infant? Or murdering a child? You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. And until next time, study to show thyself approved.